Okay, now it works.
Okay, let's start. So tonight we are continuing to talk about the Rambam and the Ramban. Tonight it's not so much a machloket, so much as a comparison. So we're talking about the end of the parashah. The last few psukim in the parashah talks about the mitzvah of tzitzit, which is the fringes that men put on their edge of four-cornered garments. Okay, let's mute that. And the Torah says, "Derveh obnei Yisrael amar talehem basulam tzitzit al kanfei bigdehem v'dorotam netnu al tzitzit al kanaf b'sil tchelet." So to translate this simply, you'd have to say that Moshe says, is supposed to say to Bnei Israel, you should make tzitzit on the corners of their clothing for generations, and on the tzitzit, natnu ala tzitzit hakanaf p'til tchelet. And then on the tzitzit, you have to put this, well, it says a corner again, and then this blue thread, this tchelet thread. Now, what does the word tzitzit actually mean? We don't know. You can't tell from the context, really. You have to put something on the corner. Okay.
Could it be related to the word tzitz from the Kohen Gadol?
You would expect that it would be, except the tzitz on the Kohen Gadol was on his head.
That's right.
So,
yes.
Vayelachem letzitzit, and they should be for you tzitzit, which is kind of strange. They already are tzitzit. Ritem oto, uschatem et komitzvot Hashem, vasitem otam, velotatuach v'elachem, achareinichem, ashatem tzunim achareh. And you shall see it. What is it? What are you supposed to see? That's supposed to remind you of the mitzvot of Hashem. Okay, so those are the questions that we're dealing with. So we'll start with Ramban. Ramban actually starts by quoting Rashi, but we'll get there in a second. So Ramban puts us into the context over here. He says, "Well, parasha zot samach acharya." What's the parasha that immediately precedes the mitzvah of tzitzit? So the parasha, the story that comes right before tzitzit, is actually the mekoshesh, mekoshesh etzim, the person who's mechalal Shabbat. We're not exactly sure what he did. He did something with trees, something with wood. And then what comes right before that is actually, well, it's chala, and then it's achim, and then the story of the meraglim. So the Ramban says this goes in order. You have first the meraglim, and then you have the mekoshesh, and then you have tzitzit. And there's a reason. He says, after the mekoshesh, you have after the meraglim, you have the idea of the mekoshesh. Ki haya bezman hazeh achar maaseh meraglim adar hapshat. One says because that's what happened in order. That's the order of things according to the chronology. The whole story of the mekoshesh came after they had to wait in the midbar. The achar came tiva b'mitzvat tzitzit. And then after the Mekoshesh is the story of the tzitzit, the mitzvah of the tzitzit, so that people should remember all the mitzvot. In other words, the tzitzit is there in order to make sure that we don't forget the mitzvot, which we were liable to do. Baharaya, they have the Mekoshesh Eitzim. Mekoshesh Eitzim forgot the mitzvah of Shabbat. So the tzitzit are there in order to make sure that that doesn't happen anymore. That's the Ramban's scheme that brings us into this parasha. The time as Zikaron is it? Yes.
How do we know? How do we know he forgot it and he didn't just dafka go against it?
We don't. That's a good question. If we were learning the Mekoshesh Yitzim, we'd learn that there were a lot of different understandings of what happened with the Mekoshesh Yitzim, and one of them is that he actually did it on purpose. But the Ramban is saying for now that we're worried that the people will forget the mitzvot after seeing what the Mekoshesh Yitzim did.
Okay,
it's a fair point. The time as ikon hazeh sheyeh b'tzitzit l'kol ha-mitzvot katav Rashi mipnei ha-minyan shel tzitzit b'gematria 608 chutin v'chamisha ksharim harei taryag. Rashi understands that the remembrance of the tzitzit occurs as follows. When you look at the tzitzit, you look at the way that it's built, and you see that on the tzitzit, what do you have? You have a remez to the 613 mitzvot. How do you have that? Because you have 600 of the word tzitzit. Take the gematria of the word tzitzit, and that's going to be 600. 90 plus 10 plus 90 plus 10 plus 400. That's 200 plus 400 is 600. And then you have shmone chutin. How do you get shmone chutin? So here you actually have four strings, but when you split them in half, you end up with eight, right? So when you kind of look at the ends of your tzitzit, you have eight strings in total. And then you have five knots, right? You have one, two, three, four, five. From the beginning of the tzitzit, you'll have to take my word for it, you have five knots. So 5 + 8 = 13. 600 + 13 = 613. Rashi says it's that simple. You just look at the tzitzit, you think of the word tzitzit, you notice the knots, you notice the strings, and you get to 613. Easy peasy, simple math. That's what Rashi says. Rabban says, "Vela vinotize." I don't understand. First of all, he says, the word tzitzit written in the Torah is chaser yud. Take a look up here. This is true. The word tzitzit only has one yud. So what are you talking about? Okay, good night.
Good night, Zaidi.
Good night. So the word
good night, tzitzit sweetie. Good night.
Is written without the yud. So that kind of breaks the gematria business. You only get the 590. Also, according to Beit Hillel, you only need three chutin. And midoraita, you only need two ksharim from the Torah. The five is just a nice smach, just a nice idea. Kamo shamru, shma mina. He's quoting the Gemara, but what the Gemara ends up saying is that you only have two required knots and three required strings. So Ramban says the whole Gematria thing falls apart. Now, before we continue with the Ramban actually thinks, you should just know that Ramban was not the only one to notice this. Tosafot actually noticed this. And in the Gemara, he asked these questions on Rashi. And at least with regards to the Gematria, he solves the problem in the following interesting way. He notices that how many times do we have the word tzitzit? Three times, you know, because you kiss the tzitzit three times, okay? And he says, in the third time you have the word tzitzit, you have a lamed over there, right? And the lamed is 30. So Tosafot says, if you spread that 30 across all three occurrences of tzitzit, you can add 10 to each one. So each tzitzit is 600 if you spread that 30. That's what Tosafot says. And actually, Rabbeinu Bachaya says the same thing. Rabbeinu Bachaya was actually a Talmud of the Ramban. So he asked the Ramban's question, and then he gives this as the answer. You can make a face, but it's worth as much as the Gematria is worth, right? If you're going to accept the Gematria.
And
you
accept the Gematria. Why do we have to spread the 30 across all three? Just say the lamed is 30. We add the 30 of lit tzitzit to the gematria.
Then you end up with 620.
No, the lamed using the 30 and dividing into 10 three times. Just use the lamed as 30 and keep it, and you've got the same number.
No, you don't. If you use the lamed as 30, then that's 30 plus the 590 of the rest of the word tzitzit. You end up with 620.
So what is he doing with the lamed?
He's saying there's three tzitzits, and each one of them is missing the extra yud, the second yud, rather. So you spread the lamed across all three of them, and it adds 10 to each one. So you end up with three tzitzit. Each one of them is 600.
So it makes up for the missing yud.
Yeah, that's the idea.
So that's my point. The three tzitzit are each missing 10, and that's 30, and the lamed is 30. We could have just made it simpler and said, we add the lit tzitzit to the gematria rather than saying tzitzit itself.
That is what he's saying. He's saying you take the lamed, it's 30. There's three tzitzits. Right. So each one of them is 590. That is what he's saying.
Yeah, we're splitting hairs, but he could have made it easier by just saying count the lamed as 30.
I didn't read you Tosfot, so I don't exactly remember what the words that he uses, but this is the general idea.
Okay.
So Ramban doesn't like this idea. So he's got to figure out another way of remembering all, because this, according to Rashi, it's very simple. You look at the tzitzit and you think of all of the mitzvot, because it gives you 613 mitzvot. Another thing that we should notice before we continue in the Ramban is that actually Ramban repeats this whole analysis in the beginning of his commentary on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvot in his Hasagot on Shorash Aleph. The Rambam, before he gives you a list of all the mitzvot, he has Shorashim, which is, you know, the roots, where he tells you how he's going to count all the mitzvot and which kinds of mitzvot he's going to count and which kinds he's not. And the Ramban, right in the beginning over there, mentions that, you know, this whole enterprise of counting 613 mitzvot is kind of funny. And he says one of the things it's based on is this midrash, that there are 613 mitzvot, and that you look at the tzitzit and you think of the 613 mitzvot. And he quotes Rashi, and he says, but I don't think it's right, because look, you look at the tzitzit, the yud's missing, and the five, and the three, it doesn't make any sense. And so he ends up saying that it's not a good source for 613 mitzvot. And he goes on, and he in fact says, you know, you could argue with all of the sources for 613 mitzvot. And he goes through some of them. It's based on the Gemara in Makot. That's the most famous one. Rabbi Simlai says the word Torah itself represents 611. And then you add on the two first two commandments of Anochi and Lo Yelecha, and you get the 613 mitzvot. That's really the main source for it. The Ramban says, you know, you could really argue with all these sources and say that it's only a dat yachid, or it's only some opinions, and maybe we don't have 613 mitzvot. But in the end, he throws up his hands and he says, you know what, there's enough midrashim like this, and everybody seems to assume it, so we'll just go with 613. But it's not one of the Ikrei Emunah that we have 613 mitzvot, Ramban says. Okay, fine. Getting back to his commentary, Ramban says, no. Hazikaron hu bechut atchelet. This whole idea of that you look at the tzitzit and you're reminded of the mitzvot, it's not the whole tzitzit, it's dafka, the string of tchelet. Shiromez lemida hakolelet hakol, shehi bakol, mitachlit hakol. It hints at this midah called kol. Midah called kol is a Kabbalistic idea that represents the kind of oneness of the universe. B'lachein amar uzchartem et kol shehi mitzvot Hashem v'zeu shamru b'mnei shahatchila dom aliyam. Okay, it goes on in a second, but basically the Ramban says, take a look at the pasuk. V'yalachem letzitzit uritem oto uzchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem. Ramban says this word kol is not attached to mitzvot; it's et kol, which is mitzvot Hashem. You remember this oneness, which is a foundational principle of the mitzvot Hashem. In what way? He says, based on the midrash, hatchelet dom leyam, v'yam dom lerakia, v'rakia l'kisei hakavod. The midrash says that you're supposed to look at the tchelet and you're supposed to think about how, oh, that tchelet reminds me of the water. The water reminds me of the sky. The sky reminds me of the kisei hakavod. V'hadinyon b'shem gam ha'givon agvan tachlit ha'marot ki berachokam yiru kulam ki givon hu ulefichach Nikra Tchelet. And he says, and by the way, there's also an idea that when you look from far away at almost anything, and I don't totally understand what this means, it kind of turns it into blue. I don't know what that means, but basically he claims that in some kind of scientific way, that from far away, when you look at something, it usually looks the color of Tchelet. Again, I don't know what that means, but that's what he says. And the idea being that when you take a wide enough look, when you zoom out, what you're looking at is kol, and that is represented by tchelet, which reminds you of, you know, the vastness of the sea, the vastness of the sky, and then eventually going all the way to the kisei hakavod. So according to Ramban, what you're supposed to do when you look at the tchelet of the tzitzit is you're supposed to be reminded of the oneness of the universe, the absolute oneness of the universe, which will help you with the mitzvot. Okay, so that's step one. He goes on and says,
is that a different explanation? Is that from
Rashi?
No, yeah, one explanation is this is a different reason for looking for why
absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, Rashi says you're supposed to look at the tzitzit, you're supposed to notice the word tzitzit, it's supposed to conjure something up in your mind, you're supposed to notice the amount of strings, the amount of knots.
The arithmetic, yes.
Whereas
yes.
According to Ramban, you're supposed to look, first of all, not at the tzitzit, what we call tzitzit, but rather at the tchelet.
Right.
And the tchelet is supposed to remind you of something.
Yeah,
supposed to remind you, and you're supposed to do these leaps of imagination. Yeah. By the way, the basis for Ramban is also in the pshat, because we noticed before it said, uritem oto. Now, according to Ramban, this works very nicely. Because the end of the last pasuk says, "V'natnu al tzitzit hakanaf p'til tchelet." So oto refers
to the tefillet,
right? Yeah. According to Rashi, you have to say that once it says Vayelachem litzitzit, this litzitzit is singular, right? It's like the whole object, and that uritem oto, whole object is tzitzit, and it's singular. You have to say that according to Rashi. Whereas according to Ramban, it's a little bit easier. You have to look at one chut. Ramban continues, and he continues in that vein. He says, "Vamar velo tatuach v'levavchem." Okay, so what are we going to say about that part? It says you shouldn't go running after or be straying after your heart, which the Ramban says, "Lahazir mimena shelo yituba." This is very interesting. Ramban says, the Torah is warning you not to make a mistake through it. What does that mean? So when we read this parasha normally, we read it as the tzitzit is supposed to be an aid as in A-I-D, like something that helps us remember the mitzvot and avoid averot. That's the simplest way to read the parasha, right? Velo tatuach v'levavchem. Because you're looking at the tzitzit, you will not stray after your heart and after your eyes. Simple enough, right? Ramban says, no, that's not what it means. It's look at the tzitzit, which means look at the tchelet, be reminded of the mitzvot, and be careful, don't be led astray by the tchelet itself. V'zeo shidarshu avoteinu acharei levavchem zo haminut asher atem zonim zo avodah zarah. The Sifri says, when it says acharei levavchem, that's actually not what you think it is. It's actually heresy. And asher atem zonim, that's avodah zarah. You would think, lo tatu acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem, one of them maybe means avodah zarah, but the other one probably means znut, right? You would think. But the Gemara says no. The Sifrei says no. It actually refers to heresy and avodah zarah. Shelo yeharheru min hatchelet b'minut. That the tchelet shouldn't lead you to heresy, to avodah zarah, which means that there's some concern that when you look too deeply in the tchelet, you will come to some kind of theological problem. But rather, it should be for you like tzitzit. It should be for you tzitzit instead of making you be led astray. And then it says, "Acharei nechem zoznut kinyan shekadu v'anochi yodeh ve'edu mashem v'amaskil yavin," which means it's kabbalistic. Yes.
What's the word after uzachartem? Uritem oto uzachartem.
Et kol mitzvot Hashem. Et kol mitzvot Hashem. V'asitem otam v'lo tatu acharei levavchem. So these things, v'lo tatu acharei levavchem, is okay. When you look at them, you should remember the mitzvot and not be led astray.
All right, I thought there was a grammatical thing, but it's not. It's correct.
Right. Okay. Now, what's going on over here? I can't say I know fully what's going on over here, but it appears that this idea of the tchelet is a very, very deep idea. And like all very deep ideas, if you approach it carefully and properly, then it will lead you to some kind of revelation of truth and of spirituality and godliness. But on the other hand, if you look at it carelessly or improperly, then it will lead you, chas v'shalom, to the exact opposite, to some misunderstanding. I'm reminded, and I think not by accident, of the story of the Arba Shenichnasu LaPardes, right? The Gemara in Chagiga talks about how Rabbi Akiva, Elisha ben Avuya, Shimon ben Azai, and Shimon ben Zoma went into the Pardes, whatever that is. And a different thing happened to each one of them. One of them died. One of them went crazy. But what happened to Rabbi Akiva is that he came out fine. And Elisha ben Avuya became a heretic. And the Gemara has a story of what happened. In the context of that story, one of the things that happened is that Rabbi Akiva warns all four of them, well, the other three, that when they go in, they're going to see a block of sapphire, just like clear block, and they're going to think that it's water. And it's not. And they shouldn't say that it's water. And I can't help but think, or be reminded rather, of the tchelet, which looks like water. And that somehow there's some connection between these two things, that looking at the Tchelet in a certain way, maybe maybe too deeply, too intently, will cause a person to have heretical thoughts. Maybe he sees himself at the center of the universe instead of God, for example. And I suspect that what the Ramban is saying over here, his understanding of these words, avoyelachem hakol litzitzit, my father brought up before that tzitzit reminds us of the word tzitz that the Kohen Gadol had. But what other word? I mean, it's the same, but there's another word in Tanakh that also has the word tzitz in it. It's in Shir HaShirim. Metzitz minacharakim, to peer through the lattices. And peering is like this furtive looking at something. You're very carefully looking, but you're not staring, right? You kind of peer carefully. And so it's almost as if it's saying, look at the Tchelet, but carefully, not brazenly. You don't brazenly look at it. It's like the Kohanim, the hands of the Kohanim that you're not supposed to look at brazenly. And so maybe that's what's going on over here. And the Ramban ends and he says, Uba midrash shol shrabi nechoni menekana. This is a Kabbalistic midrash. It says, V'yitron eretz bakol hu. V'yitron eretz bakol hu is a pasuk in Kohelet that says that there is nothing there's nothing worthwhile on the land. Umay nihu eretz denechtzava v'menu shamayim v'hu kiso shol kodesh baruch hu v'hi even yikara. Right? It says here that the kisei hakavod is a precious stone, which I was talking about before. V'hi yam hachochma. This precious stone known as the sea of wisdom. Ukinegda tchelet v'talit. Tzitzit. And the correspondent is the talit, the tchelet of the tzitzit. Amar Meir, mani shtana tchelet. Okay. So according to Ramban, again, the thing that we're supposed to notice about the tzitzit is dafka the tchelet, and it's supposed to remind us of the kisei hakavod. And to my mind, the message of the Ramban here is that one looks at the tchelet of the tzitzit and one takes a bird's eye view, you zoom out, and you contemplate it. And it's supposed to give you this kind of theological leap. Okay, that's what the Ramban seems to say.
So sorry, trying to stress what he seems to be saying, that looking at the tchelet, which is like it's almost like a gateway. It can lead you to great sort of spirituality, the kisei hakavod, or it can lead you, it's got some power, somehow, or you can go the wrong way.
It could be just an intellectual power, meaning it inspires you to think about tchelet, but like with all Kabbalistic concepts, if you're not careful, then it could lead you to a gross misunderstanding. This is what the Mitnagdim were worried about when Hasidus started to propagate knowledge of Kabbalah, that people who don't understand things make grave mistakes. And grave mistakes on a theological level can be disastrous. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Ramban is saying, that the Torah is telling you to be careful. That's the Torah telling you to be careful with the Tchelet. Okay. The Rambam talks about tzitzit, not at great length anywhere, but there is a theme that comes out of the Rambam's description of tzitzit. One is in Hilchot Mezuzah. The Rambam says, Chayav Adam Lizaher b'Mezuzah, b'nei she'chovat hakol tamid. Mezuzah a person has to be careful about because it's always around, right? It's on all the doors and it has to stay there. The problem with the mezuzah is that a person becomes complacent. You don't even notice it anymore when you go into a room. Hashem's name is written on the door and nobody notices it. He says, no, it's supposed to wake you up. It's supposed to, you walk through the door, you notice the mezuzah, you say, wow. There's nothing that exists forever except for God. It will cause you to do tshuva immediately. If every single time you saw a mezuzah, you thought that way. Everyone Rambam says, the Chassidim, the Chachamim Rishonim said that as long as you have tefillin in your head and on your arm and tzitzit on your clothing and a mezuzah on the door, then you can be sure you're never going to sin. And I realize that women only have one of these three, but one is, no, one out of three ain't bad. Sharei,
we only need one.
Rabin, exactly. It's an amazing thing that the Rambam says. You know, this doesn't sound like the Rambam, but he's, you know, he's just quoting the Pasuk. These are reminders, they're remembrances, and they are like angels that save you from sinning. That they surround you. He calls these mitzvot angels because they surround you like guardian angels. They protect you from sinning because you look at them and intellectually you are reminded of God. So according to the Rambam, just if we leave it here, what is the role of the tzitzit? How do they work?
Safeguard.
And how does it, but how does that work? It's a safeguard. It's not magic.
They are a reminder of the mitzvot, right, along with the tefillin and the mezuzah.
Exactly. He doesn't even mention any special character of the tzitzit. He just says, you have the tzitzit on, you look at them, you're reminded.
Which is what I find unusual about that is because the mezuzah and the tefillin are commandments, mitzvot asay. And it's tzitzit you only have to wear, theoretically, if I have a four-cornered beged. If I don't,
But the Rambam says tzitzit. You're supposed to. The Rambam says you're supposed to. You're supposed to wear the tzitzit, even if you don't need to. He continues, and elsewhere, in Mor Nevuchim, along the same lines, he even quotes himself. He says, "Hamitzvot asher kalal otam haklal atshi'i, hem hamitzvot asher sefarnum b'sefer ahava, mesivat kulam mevoeret." It's only Amar, Shekavanat ha'avodot ahem, Zichron Hashem tamid, V'yirato v'avato v'shmirot ha'mitzvot kulam. We have a number of mitzvot that their purpose is that you should look at them and be reminded of God. V'shiyamin b'shem yizbarach, Mashu ha'chrechi l'chol ba'al dat sheminehu, B'him ha'tfila, Rokiyat shema u'birkat ha'mazon, Mashin v'at mehen. So you have tfila and kriyat shema and birkat ha'mazon, which directly remind you of God. Ubrikat konim betfilin v'zuzah v'tzitzit v'kinot sefer Torah v'karot bo le'itim. And there's brikat konim and tefillin and mezuzah and tzitzit and buying a sefer Torah and we're eating for the sefer Torah. Kol elohem masim shilamdu de'ot moilot. Each one of them teaches us good ideas, ideas about God. So you're supposed to look at them and have good thoughts.
Does the Rambam ascribe specific ideas to each one of them?
Not here. Well, not for tzitzit. I thought you were asking about specifically about tzitzit. It doesn't say anything specific about tzitzit, not here, and not in the Sefer Mitzvot either. And This is as far as he goes. Lo'olam yehi adam zayir b'mitzvot tzitzit. At the end of Hilchot Tzitzit, he says a person needs to be careful about tzitzit. Hare ha-katuv shkala b'tala ba'kol mitzvot kulan. Because the Torah makes the tzitzit, their weightiness is like all the mitzvot. Shnemar uritam oto uschartemet kol mitzvot Hashem. Because the tzitzit are shakul keneged kulam, in the sense that they remind you of all the mitzvot. So in that sense, they're worth all the mitzvot. So like I said, yes, the Rambam doesn't give any specific understanding of it, but he does mention that, yes, like the Torah says, no chidush, looking at the mitzvot, looking at the Torah, the tzitzit is supposed to remind you. Now, the next thing that I wanted to go over was this blue and white. So here we have a halachic dispute or discussion, and it actually ends up possibly bringing the Rambam and Ramban closer, okay? So we know that on tzitzit, you're supposed to have white strings and blue strings. Some of us have blue strings, some of us don't nowadays, but you're supposed to. The Mishnah in Menachot says, "Hatchelat eina me'akevet et halavam," which means that if you don't have tchelat on the tzitzit, it doesn't share the mitzvah. In other words, you can wear, like we do, you can wear a beged with only white tzitziot, and you're still being mekayim the mitzvah. Good news. Okay. Rashi comments.
Sorry, I thought the color tchelet was the important part. Isn't that what the Rambam said? That you look
Rambam
at the
tchelet. Yes.
Oh, Rambam, so this is different. Okay.
Well, yeah. The Mishnah, I mean, the Ramban has to agree to this, that even without the Tchelet, there's still a mitzvah of tzitzit, and you're still being mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzit. Everybody has to agree with that. But the Rashi,
if it's not tchelet, yeah, sorry.
If there's no tchelet, then you're lacking something, but you still have the mitzvah.
Okay.
So the Rashi comments on this and says, "Va'avagav the mitzvah latet tchelet bet chutin batzitzit k'de mefarish l'kaman." Afilu achi ein zemakev et zev ve'i avid arba'atan tchelet or batan lavan yatsa. Rashi says that really, ideally, the bare mitzvah is to have two strings of tchelet. But if you have four strings of tchelet, then you're also yotze with that. According to Rashi, you have to have at least two, and you can have up to four. Okay, of the eight. That's what Rashi says.
If the tchelet is so important, why shouldn't I have all eight strings of the tchelet?
I'm sorry, actually. I should correct myself. Well, I mean, what do you mean? That's not the mitzvah.
Rashi says you should. No, we just heard before from the Ramban that the tchelet is what reminds you of ultimately of the kisei hakavod.
Right. Well,
so what? First, Rashi says you should have at least two, but four is okay. Why not just say have eight?
Okay, that's fair, but obviously the white ones play a role as well. We don't know what role they play yet, and the Ramban doesn't really address it because the Torah doesn't. According to Ramban, the Tchelet plays the role of reminding you of Hakol, right? So we don't know what the white does, but it does something. Now, what Rashi is actually saying over here is that you can have all eight of the strings, because you know it's not eight strings; it's really four, four strings that you split in two, that you fold over. So Rashi is saying you could have all eight strings tchelet, you could, or all eight strings lavan, and you could be yotze with that. That's what Rashi says here. But the Rambam, but you need at least two. You need at least two, which means four. But the Rambam says, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically he's describing how the tzitzit are tied. The Rambam describes them. And at the end of Halacha Hey, he says, one of the eight threads should be blue, and seven should be white. So now he's got eight strings, first of all, right? And one of them is blue, and seven should be white. Now, how does this work, though? So he says one of the eight white threads is taken up and wound once about the other threads close to the garment. It's then dropped. He gives all explanation. It's hard to read these explanations in English. But if you go to the Petil Tchelet website, they show you the different types of tzitzis with tchelet. So here you have the Rambam's tzitzit, and you can see it's pretty amazing, right? He's got eight strings over here, which are really four, which means half of this string is colored. The other half is not. Then you have the Ravid, who's got two strings, which is really one string, right? And then you have Tosfot, which is also like Rashi, which is two strings, which is four, colored blue. Right? Does everybody see that? You have Rambam, which is half of one of the four strings, so it's one of eight. And you have the Ravid, which is whole of one of the four strings, which is two of eight. And Tosfot, which is two of the four strings, which ends up being four of eight. Everybody got it?
Okay. Can I get something clear? Is Tchelet is a specific kind of a dye that correct. Some people feel they know what it is, and others aren't.
You have to You have to go to Tveria, Dad. You have to go do snorkeling. You have to do no, for real. You really have to do the tchelet snorkeling.
You find a snail or whatever that animal is.
That's right, a Murex trunculus. Yeah, you can go snorkeling and find them. Absolutely,
we'll take a trip. We'll take a trip together.
Absolutely, sure. I'd love to go back. And here you find all the different ways of tying tchelet. Okay, it's just good to know. You'll see people who wear tchelet, and they just all look different, right? One person wears it like this. One person wears it like that. What I think is funny is that you have all these, you know, huge names, and then you have Rav Shachter here at the end, who has his own shita, and some people tie like Rav Shachter. But here you have the, to my eyes, the strangest looking one, which is the Rambam. Right? This doesn't look like our tzitzis. Totally different.
Which is the Rambam?
Okay. This one over here, the Rambam 13 and the Rambam 7. There's two different Rambams. Mm-hmm. Okay? And it just looks strange. But I've seen a lot of people like this. Then you have the Ravid, which looks very Zionistic over here, I think, because it's like striped. So you have all these different kinds. But notice that according to the Rambam, basically only one of the eight chutim, which is half of one of the four, is colored. What do we make of this? So Rav Gigi from the Gush, so he says, maybe the disagreement that we talked about before between Rashi and Ramban reflects what was stated above concerning the relationship between the white and the blue threads. Rashi, who views the tzitzit as a single entity, understands that the very wearing of tzitzit creates a reminder of a person's obligation. A person who puts tzitzit on the corner of his garments attests about himself through his action that he stands before God to serve him. And that reminds him of all of his obligations, and you should remember all the commandments of the Lord. There's an allusion that Rashi adds that according to the common custom to spell the word tzitzit with two words, et cetera, et cetera. We saw this. But the primary reminder is the tzitzit itself, which accompanies the person at all times. For Rashi, it's the tzitzit, like the entirety of the tzitzit, which reminds you. There's also a number, and there's the strings, and there's the knots. But it's the whole tzitzit that reminds you of the mitzvot. Ramban, on the other hand, sees the focus is in the thread of blue, which symbolizes man's connection to God. This is alluded to in the word kol, and it finds expression in all of God's commandments. And Rav Gigi wants to say that between the Rambam and Rashi over here, you have the same thing. According to Rashi, you could have all four chutim be tchelet, or all four chutim be white, and it's pretty much the same thing. And which is, actually, that's true according to everybody. But according to Rashi, the point is that the tchelet becomes less special because it could be any number of tchelet threads. According to the Rambam, it's just this one thread that catches your eye out of the tzitzit. And in that way, maybe the Rambam almost more aligns with Ramban because they see the uniqueness of the tchelet, right? There's just one chut of tchelet that's special out of all of them. Whereas according to Rashi, there's multiple threads of tchelet. Okay, so that was one main idea that I wanted to share.
Can we see those pictures again of the various tzitzit? Go back up a little bit, please. Scroll up a little bit.
There's nothing to scroll.
No, you had the picture of like the eight different kinds of tzitzit.
Oh, these, right, yes. There.
Yes. Why are there two versions of the Rambam there?
So this is the Rambam 13, the Rambam 7. I'm not entirely sure, but basically this is with seven knots and this is with 13. You know that when we tie tzitzit, so we tie 7, 9, 11, 13 of these guys of like around. That's how we tie tzitzit. So it's related to that. I'm not entirely familiar with it. The last thing that I wanted to show you is just this, the Netziv. The Netziv addresses why we need both white and blue. He says, Hainyan d'shtei zechirot halalu. There's two remembrances. Lavan u'tchelet v'ol d'shnei ofanei hanagat ha'adam Yisrael. They represent two different kinds of Jews and what they have to be concerned with. The majority of people, they spend most of their time in Parnasa, like they should. But nevertheless, they have to remember to do mitzvot bizmanam. And the tzitzit, it functions as like an alarm clock. You look down, you remember, tzitzit, mitzvot, I have to daven shachris, I have to daven mincha, I have to shake a lulav, whatever. Hasheni, the one who is separated and is only osek b'mitzvot, so he also gam alav lishmar mitzvah bizmano, v'lo lekapech maaseh mitzvah b'shul v'ikut chas v'sholom, not to get so lost in the mitzvot that he forgets or neglects to do the mundane, time-bound mitzvot. We've already said that achnasat orchim is more important than akhlat pnei ashkina. And so the Nativ sees this as two different messages to two different kinds of Jews. One Jew who is involved in parnasa and needs to stop to do mitzvot, and the other Jew who is involved in dveikut and spirituality, who needs to stop and also do mitzvot. And that's why you need both the white and the blue. Okay, we're going to stop there.
That's a nice point by the Nativ. Very nice.
Yeah. Thank everybody for joining us tonight. Yeah, go ahead, Robert.
Ask a very, very stupid question, because I know, for obvious reasons, I know nothing about tzitzit. Is it the case that you can, like, there's lots of different kinds and different people have got, I've never looked at tzitzit in detail.
Yeah, there are different ways to tie the tzitzit. There's Ashkenazim, there's Faradim, and there's Hasidim. There are different ways of tying the tzitzit, yeah.
Okay. And different colors and different knots and different...
Well, the colors are limited to basically white and blue. But yeah, the knots differ.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Have a good night, everybody. Shabbat
Shalom. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
Shkaya, thank you very much.